Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, hour number four is flying by. NFL Sunday, presented by the fine folks at Kaplansky Insurance, and we are coming to you live, as Brent Musburger would say, from the Best Yet studio in Brighton. Your phone calls with Jermaine Wiggins, the new star of Killer Inside, the Aaron Hernandez story on Netflix.
No, I like the way Andy said it, the voice of reason.
Voice of reason.
The voice of reason.
And I'm being dead serious. The end of that, you were the voice of reason.
Yes.
Just because you got hit in the head a couple times doesn't mean you have an out to go kill people.
Andy Hart and Mark James. It's Mark with a C, James. So you guys, and I get it. You know, I'm a loudmouth gas bag on the air talking about what I'm doing gambling. So I'm going to have somebody who is the conduit and the guy that, let's just say, can tell you about all of my betting action this year, Mr. T, out in Western Mass, who will back us up.
I really enjoyed him in the A-team.
Yeah, he was great in the A-team. Mr. T, hey, Mr. T. So Wiggy and Hart, they have a lot of, they're a lot, very skeptical about just some of my betting. I just want you to verify, and you can tell him everything that I bet this year. I don't care what.
He said he's won in 9 football seasons, he's won every year.
Well, let me tell you, I think Mark's greatest attribute is the fact that he's very conservative. He's not going to bet unless he has a real good feel on the teams and who's going to win. We're not perfect, but since we've been betting together, no doubt about it, we're in the four figures.
Okay. See that? So there you go. Right. And we do. We lost. Like, we lost on Patriots, Tennessee. Right, Mr. T?
Yeah, we
lost on Patriots, Tennessee. And, you know, but we.
So you're a conservative better then.
But also value. Like last weekend, you know, we liked the big one, which was Tennessee on the money line. That came through big.
Yeah. But overall, you're more of a conservative better.
Conservative in terms of, like, I'm not betting the rent money, which costs $2,300 a month to live in Watertown.
So what's your biggest win and biggest loss?
Mr. T, the biggest win, I would definitely say.
I would say the most impressive was the Tennessee on the money line.
Yeah, that was the big one. Yeah, that was the big
one. You know, the thing is, I follow these touts and things of that nature. So these individuals will call their hotline and they'll give you 4 or 5 games a week, or 4 or 5 games a day. Mark does, he'll do like 1, 2 games, if you like something, and then we'll just put the money on those events.
That's so. And I stop. I don't like you wanted last week to go Seattle Green Bay, and what did I do?
Yep.
I
win it. I lost.
You lost, and I stayed. And I wait till LSU on Monday night. So like that's, and today I gave out. I like the teaser: Kansas City, San Francisco. So those are that's what we like today. You like? I think they're both going to win, and I think they're certainly going to cover the 1 and 2 points.
So Mr. T, how much do you regret teaming up with Mark at times?
Listen, he got me out of a huge hole because I followed a tout that he knew from back in the day, and he has been awful.
Awful. So I told him, I said, stop it.
Yeah, teaming up with Mark, we've been unbelievably successful. I mean, I got $1,000 in my room right now, waiting to pay him when I see him. So,
okay. So, what's the percentage that you get then, Mark? Is there a percentage that if you're a tout, it sounds like a tout is?
Yeah, well, I'm not like that.
No, but do you get a little extra? Not only the winnings plus 10% of his, because you're making him money.
Oh, listen, no, it's all good, man.
He's doing it.
No, I don't want. I don't want.
Right, so Mr. T, I just want to clarify: are you in this for entertainment and juice, or are you in this to make money?
I think a little of both. Obviously, I'm not in it to lose money, but when you, like, so you go to the casino, you take $200, $300, $500 goes in a half an hour.
Yep. So that's what we need to say.
At least get
that's
3 hours of entertainment.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's why I won't go to the casino. Right, exactly.
Those $25 blackjack tables, it's gone in a
hurry. That's why you got to sit down with $1,000, because $1,000.
$200 is gone like this.
$1,000 might be 3 hours.
Mr. T, Wiggy did say for a while that the Ravens would lose in the first round had he, you know, been in with us. He would have put 50 on Tennessee, and he would have won.
I would have put more than 50 100. Tennessee. I would have put more than 100.
NFL guy over here.
Well, no, I mean, just you feel good about a bet.
All in.
I want to bet. I don't do a lot of it. Like I said, I go to the casino and gambling. I'm not putting $100 in just to make $200. I want to. I want the rush of winning money.
Yeah.
So if I'm gonna bet, let's say,
Mama needs a new pair of shoes.
Right. If I'm betting that, I'll put $500 down where that's gonna make me over. How much is that gonna make?
$1,500.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Now I can
Like today,
you said you like
Tennessee.
You said you like Green Bay.
No, but Tennessee is a better.
No, but you said you like Green Bay. Then.
Yes.
So you win, if you put $100 on Green Bay,
yep.
You win $305.
Right. See, but I'm not doing it. If I put $500 on Green Bay, how much am I winning?
$1,500, right? And change.
No, if you put five.
You like Green Bay to cover or Green Bay?
No, Green
to
Bay on the money line.
Straight up.
Money line, $500 you're going to put on them on the money line?
Yep.
So you get back $305 for every $100 you put up. So we'll do that. Yeah,
so $1,500 and change.
Yeah.
So see, that's worth it. So,
like, you're gonna put
but are you going to do it?
No, but I'm saying if I was going to do it. But I would have did that for Tennessee last week because I felt really good about Tennessee.
So Mr. T, you're the runner here. And how will this relationship change if everyone gets their way and Massachusetts legalized gambling and we have it on an app?
Right.
Are you and Mark going to break up here?
No.
Well, here's the thing. My thought, and I talked to him about this, I think he's so good about what he does in his memory. I've known Mark for years. His memory is unbelievable, and his judgment is really good.
For the most part.
I think this is another avenue for him in the radio business. And I talked about getting, becoming some sort of a tout in some regard because I think he's really successful.
Well, why not do that? I mean, I would think Mark should be doing that. If you're nine football seasons straight where you're winning, you should be telling people what to bet on and getting some kickbacks.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Mr. T, we appreciate it.
Thanks, Mr. T.
We appreciate that, man.
I'm sorry you're friends with him.
Yeah, sorry you lost to Rocky and Rocky.
Clubber Lang.
But let me ask you about the tout because this is kind of interesting. So a tout is a person that tells people, bet on this, bet on that, bet on this.
Yeah, yes.
Is that what it is?
And they get, here's the thing about it, where a lot of it, what these guys do, they get paid by people for their picks.
Right.
But there's no guarantee they're going to win. I don't get paid I just make my picks and bet.
So, but do if they the person loses, they don't pay the person anymore?
Oh, no. They've already paid ahead before the picks. So that's what I'm saying.
No, but the tout.
So the tout.
They don't give the money back if they lose.
Yeah, right.
No.
So you get to. So in other words, you're like Wiggy.
So a tout is a great job to have because
All you do is get paid.
You know a lot of these guys,
how they make money? They go on sports talk radio stations and say, call me now at 1-800. I'm a lock. Call me now and I'll give you my five-star pick of Octo. That's what they do.
Oh, so they're just giving their picks.
So they're basically. You ever see the movie Boiler Room with Ben Affleck and Giovanni Ribisi?
Yeah, it's
you know what they are? They're Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Okay. They're selling you basically penny stocks. If they don't win, they still get your money. It's a ripoff. Right. So that's why for me, I don't need them. I don't want them. I just bet on my own picks. That's it. You know what I mean? Like I don't. But yeah. I'm telling you, it's interesting. I'm glad we've opened your eyes today.
I'm all for the gambling app.
But you turtled. You said you were going to put $500 down, and really? And you said no.
No, because I don't feel it for Green Bay.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But you're saying you would. Like
if I felt it.
Like, so you
feel
last
it for
week.
Tennessee.
I felt it for Tennessee
last week. Not this week.
I'm not really.
Yeah. He wants to talk about how Mahomes is without weapons, but he doesn't want to bet against Mahomes with weapons.
Then I would be winning. Yeah. I'd be a better that wins a lot because if I'm not feeling, I'm not
betting. You guys both know the bet I placed today.
But then again, I would have lost it on the Patriots.
Right. You know the bet I placed
but
today.
But I wouldn't have bet them.
So if the Chiefs cover -1 and the Niners cover -2, I win the teaser. So you know what my bet is today going into the game.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We will get your calls. Tom Curran. Tom E. Curran.
You're listening to NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right. The NFL Sunday. Right here on WEEI with Wiggy, Hart, and James joining us. Now, live on the Harbor One hotline is Tom E. Curran, who deduced he was the one who cracked Greenwich Gate, that Giselle and Tom Brady do not own a house in Greenwich, Connecticut. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. So all the things have transpired. Oh, by the way, something did sort of transpire last night. Tom Brady was at the UFC fight for McGregor, and he was talking to Mark Davis, and John Gruden was also there. Anything that recently to update Brady Watch?
Nope. Nothing.
that's all we got. Yep.
Tom, let's...
So here she goes. I mean, we can make stuff up.
No. Let's leave that for others. So we were actually just watching ESPN and came across a scroll that Philip Rivers has moved to Florida. So apparently... homes of quarterbacks that are veterans and going to be free agents is notable around the league. And I want to ask you this. Does it really matter where Tom Brady owns a home next year? Is that directly tied to where he's going to play football next year?
You know the answer to that.
Yeah, but I want the smart Tom Curran to answer for me.
I mean, he owned the place in Brentwood or wherever it was that Jay-Z eventually bought. That didn't make a difference in the earlier part of this decade, so it certainly doesn't matter, I think, in the long haul. What matters is owning a home in the general vicinity of where you're going to work. So if you make as much money as he and his spouse do together, you can own homes here, in Nice, in Rome, Tasmania.
Paris.
Just, Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Well, we hit that with the Nice, but I think...
I didn't know where Nice was, so...
the proximity of being in Foxborough that's something short of a helicopter ride is helpful. But, again, if you have that kind of money, you could probably find an apartment without a lot of difficulty either. So I wouldn't base too much on where homes are owned. It's where they're not owned that would matter.
Well, I agree with you because you see it all the time. Guys have homes where they live during the off season, and then they rent an apartment during the season. So to me, that means absolutely nothing. But one thing that does, I think, mean something is the return of Josh McDaniels. Does that now maybe play into Brady's decision a little bit because you know who the offensive coordinator is going to be, or is this something that won't matter at all into Brady's decision?
I don't think it rises to the level of making a big difference in moving the needle, Wiggy, one way or the other, because this is a decision that Bill Belichick is going to make, and along with Kraft, along with Brady. But Belichick wants – it's interesting when you look at the Jimmy Garoppolo decision with the Patriots. They waited and waited and waited until something came clear. And it never really did. That's why their hand was forced to finally trade him for a cut rate, package him, put him in a place that you thought was a good spot for him. And I think that that's kind of what's going on here and now. Is from 2017, when they didn't trade Garoppolo with the fear that if Brady either drops off or gets hurt, we have a Super Bowl caliber team here. They waited and waited. With 2018, don't do an extension. 2019, don't do an extension, because they really want things to come clear for themselves before they decide. Well, now Brady, because of his decision to not be franchised and the request, things will come clear. Either they will find a solution or they won't. But I don't think that Josh enters into it. It's Belichick needs to somehow get clarity on what he wants to do, and then he has to volley it across the net to Brady and say, this is what we're willing to give you. Do you want to stay for this or not?
Tom Curran joins us here on NFL Sunday. Tom, I got to ask you this because I remember when I first moved back here nearly 3 years ago, you gave Wiggy, to use a Nas reference, an ether on Red Sox ownership one time on NBC Sports Boston. I was like, holy crap, that was unbelievable. And with everything that's gone on this week with Alex Cora and then that dog and pony show press conference that we saw at Fenway Park this week, I asked this question before, that when there's ever been any controversies with the Patriots, whether it's the owner or Antonio Brown or whatever, everybody galvanizes, Tom. Everybody rallies the troops and circles the wagons. When it's the Red Sox, people just throw them under the bus. Why do you think that is?
I think the Red Sox are more manipulative than the Patriots have ever been. And I think that started in the early 2000s. I mean, an ownership level of manipulativeness. As much as you could say, look, when Robert Kraft bought the team in 1993, he was out front and he was Bob Kraft at the time. And he was in front of every available camera. And he tried to create angles to build a place in Southie and leverage Hartford and all those things. You could say all those things and be correct. But at the core, Robert Kraft isn't Tom Werner or John Henry or anyone else who has been involved, Larry Lucchino. He's from here. he was doing what was best for the football team and the fan base all the way through. The ownership group that, in my opinion, is running the Red Sox, they're squatters. They bought an asset, and they've tried to maximize it in ham-handed ways, Dr. Charles Steinberg. And just the way they've gone about things has made their ownership easier to dislike, in my opinion.
Yep.
So that's where the two change. We can have our dislikes or eye rolls about Robert Kraft all we want, but in the end, I think very much Andy and Wiggy, he's a New Englander. He's one of us the same way. He might have way more money than we do, but he still has experienced the same things that we've experienced, and so have his children. So he is more of us. The other people are just looking at the bottom line.
And that's what the callers have said, Tom, this week. He's like, he is one of us. I'm like, hey, I was born Western Mass. I'm a masshole. I sat on those I sat on those bleachers, too. But I think people, he's a man of the people. And I think when they look at John Henry, there's no connection. And there was a Celtics playoff game 2 years ago. When they put John Henry on the big screen, it was like dead silence. The record stopped. When they put Robert Kraft on, the people, it was like Larry Bird had returned. Literally.
I think there's a persecution level that never existed with the Red Sox because ESPN, the national media embraced the Red Sox because they were a warm fuzzy story. The national media was forced to embrace the Patriots because of their success, and they did it reluctantly and always have. So when the coverage nationally or from the league itself in some of the things they've done have seemed to either attack or deride the Patriots, that has made the fans here irritated. When the people outside of our market continue to throw bouquets at Henry, Werner, we've said, okay, relax with that. It's not that great.
So, Tom, you understanding that Robert Kraft is a member of Patriot Nation and not just because he owns the Patriots, is he, you think, concerned or fearful of how Patriot Nation will feel about him if Tom Brady is not the Patriots quarterback next September?
I think 100%. I think he's always concerned with public opinion. I think he's always concerned with being well-regarded and loved. Some people can deal with that. Bill Belichick, some people have a harder time. Robert Kraft, they would probably be pretty much at complete opposite ends of the spectrum. But I think that Robert Kraft can also take solace in the fact that, and I wrote this recently, and I was happy to find the quote, because in 2013, Kraft talked about authoring something elegant with Brady that would bring him through the end of his career. He has tried to make sure that Tom Brady never played anywhere else. And as much as it might pain him, and as much as it's what he never wanted to see, and it's why he wants retirement or play in New England, if he does end up playing someplace else, I don't think the Kraft, I'm sure that Robert Kraft would frame it as, I did everything I could. We just couldn't do it. I think it would torture him, Andy. I mean, you've spent as much time in that facility, more than I have. Do you feel as if that would be the same thing? You would have to betray your principles, betray the entire organization, the team, if you went against your principles in the Brady case. And I'm not saying I would pay him. I would pay his ass. Right. I would have paid his ass 2 years ago.
Right.
But if you are about value and maximizing return, which you should have been when you traded Jimmy Garoppolo for two, but that's a side story, then you have to stay true to them at some point. And I could see Robert Kraft saying, look, we have to stay true to who we've been, and that's why he's playing someplace else.
So, Tom, I know we're individuals, and then we also work with people and for companies. And your network, Gary Tangway, reported this week that Bill Belichick may have shopped himself, so to speak, after the Jimmy Garoppolo trade to the Giants and to the Redskins. I'm just wondering what your reaction was to that. Have you been able to unearth any news there on your own in terms of your sources? What do you make of that report?
I like when you say shopped himself. I've just envisioned him with the sweatshirt on.
eBay.
Standing on a street corner, just pulling his, showing a little hairy leg. The cars go by.
And the listing, Tom, on Belichick's listing, you just put 6 Super Bowl titles. You know, that's one of the listings. Yeah.
I didn't establish anything, but if Bill Belichick's concern in 2017 was a withering of clout within the organization, that has been diminished, not his clout. But if he had any concern then that he didn't have enough power and was going to be undercut, my feeling is that now that doesn't exist. I think he holds
Great sway, more sway perhaps now than ever. And I think that he would be able to make a compelling case. That's why I say it's in Bill's hands. Look, when Tom Brady had his misgivings about not having a contract in that 2017 Seth Wickersham story, and also Greg Bedard, I believe, reported, I didn't report this, but those guys did, that Brady would go to Kraft and say, where's my extension? Where's my extension? And he really was agitated for that. Didn't happen. When Brady talked this past offseason and jokingly said at the dawn of training camp, let's ask Mr. Kraft. These have been Robert Kraft decisions as far as Tom Brady has been concerned. There's a couple of times he's pointed at the owner's box and said, he's the one. Well, if he hasn't made that decision, that's, I think, because he understands that for the football purposes, Bill is the long-term guy. Bill is going to be here 2020, 2025, maybe beyond that. So he's going to defer to Bill's decision-making. And I think that that is what's interesting, is Tom has made some entries to say, hey, we're going to do something here, and it hasn't happened. That's why it's not just Bill Belichick that has drawn maybe some of Brady's ire. It's both. But when it comes down to the decision, I really think it is Bill's.
Now, if you say it's Bill's decision, I think one thing that we talked about is who becomes the guy that gives you the bridge years, or who's that next guy, or, you know, you had talked about this. I believe I saw it on NBC Sports Boston when you talked about the $13.5 million and what's the best financial way of the Patriots taking at least possible hit as they can in the pocket. When you look at their next quarterback, financially, isn't Brady the best bridge guy for the next couple of years financially, that will still make you competitive but still give you the time that you need to be competitive when you move on to said quarterback, whoever takes the bull by the horns moving forward?
Yeah, $15 million Andy Dalton turns into $28.5 million cap hit Andy Dalton with another whatever the cap hit is, so you're still at $30 million. You sign, get Brady re-signed for 24 and improve people around him. The whole question to me is, how much quote-unquote blame does Brady share in the inability of the offense to do anything in 2019? I think it's personnel. I think it starts at tight end, then it goes to wide receiver, then it goes to perhaps the amount of coaching manpower devoted to the offensive side of the ball, then it goes to injuries. Actually, I put injuries well ahead of coaching. Then it goes to injuries and lack of performance. And then I might get, after the coaching, to Brady. So he's way down the list for me, but I haven't won any Super Bowls. And if Belichick thinks that, look, we could have done better with what we had, and he's got a rooting interest. He's not an unbiased observer.
Because I feel the same way. It's not really on Brady as much as is all those other things you said. And I think most people would say that. To say that the greatest coach of all time doesn't see that as well, I think that would just be, you know, ludicrous on our part.
You're right. You're right. But he's the one who put it together.
Right.
So he's going to have to say, wow, I didn't do a good enough job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think all of us have a tendency, after we've put something together and things don't work out, well, yeah, you know, that's my fault somewhat, but also ... I mean, he's going to fully shoulder the blame personnel-wise and say that, look, we should have been able to still do it. I don't know why we weren't able to get anything out of Lacoste or there were so many circumstances that submarine this season, between injuries and failures personnel-wise and failure to plan in previous drafts, then the bad luck in this draft with N'Keal Harry. So many things conspired to really have a team that went 12-4, but was obviously not equipped to beat good teams in its conference.
Absolutely. Tom, let you on this. If Tom Brady had any of the four remaining teams who are playing today, any of their offenses, Kansas City, Green Bay, San Francisco, or Tennessee, would Patriots be playing today?
Oh, yeah.
Yep,
100%.
Yep, no doubt. All right, Tom, we appreciate the time, man. Look forward to your stuff.
Thanks, Tom.
Take care.
Wait, Tom E. Curran right here on WEEI. We'll wrap things up. Final segment next on NFL Sunday, which, of course, you know, is presented by Kaplansky Insurance.
You're listening to NFL Sunday with Wiggy Hart and James on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, Wiggy, I got you. You ready for this one, Wiggy?
No, he's not, because you created a monster. Okay, he's doing nothing but searching the prop bets.
Guess what happened while all of us have been on the air for the previous 4 hours? You know what happened this morning?
What happened?
The man they call Mattress Mac, Jim McInvale, placed two $500,000 money line bets, two of them, on the Titans to beat the Chiefs.
Okay.
So
he's doing what I would have done.
So he put up $1 million, and if he wins, he gets $3 million.
So Titans to beat the Chiefs.
Just straight up.
You said he put two bets on.
Two bets, 500 grand each.
Is there a cap, a $500,000 bet?
Probably, yeah. So 3-to-1 odds.
Okay, so then.
3-to-1 odds, two 500,000 money line bets at the Scarlet Pearl Casinos in Biloxi, Mississippi. If they pull off the upset, he gets $3 million.
Not a bad way to go.
Whoa.
If they don't.
Oh, yeah. You're at $1 million.
But he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he cares.
$1 million would probably be like,
decent amount to us, $500 or something.
Right. Wow.
I'm us. We're not even in the same tax bracket. You're an ex-NFL player. What are you saying, us?
Can you imagine that, though?
I played it a long time ago in a way different era.
Plus, they screwed you out of your Pro Bowl.
Right, exactly. So my money was nothing like that. Now you see these guys retiring in 7-8 years. Now you can play 8 years and you can walk away and you didn't hit three contracts.
You're not doing Sunday morning shifts with Mark and Hack.
Yeah, right, exactly. You're not doing that.
But I do love these prop line bet things, man. This Massachusetts.
So do it. Do it.
Okay, so here's one here now.
You're putting $100 down on Mecole Hardman to score first.
So I guess this is called touchdown score. It says Tennessee Titans at Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if it's just first, last, and then T.O. score, whatever that means. But I'm guessing this means to score first. So Damian Williams is at plus 550, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mecole Hardman is at plus 2,000.
Ooh, look at that value.
So $100 would win me $2,000.
But basically you're donating $100 because most likely you're not going to win.
He returns kicks, so there's a chance he could score first.
Touchback.
All right, but he is also a home run hitter.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So there's a chance that, maybe that they want to take a shot early. The Kansas City Chiefs would say, we're going to see if we can get out big. And boom, he would hit you one over the top, 75, 85-yard touchdown.
This is like me in the old days on those newspaper cards picking 10 teams. If I win all 10,
All right, so what about Derrick Henry?
Hey, Wiggy.
Derrick Henry is at plus 550.
I like
Derrick Henry.
No, hey, Wiggy, I will tell you, it's not this easy. It's not like it looks easy when
I'm not saying it's easy, okay. But when you look at it.
And you don't sound like you're in it for the long haul. You want quick money.
Right. You want a quick fix.
I'm not sure that's the best mentality to go in with.
No, you got to be. See, you want the sprint. Right. You want the 40. I'm in the marathon.
No, yeah, but this is
the Boston.
You're not into the stock market. You're buying cryptocurrency.
But this is good value, though. This is good
Coinbase.
Value.
Coinbase.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry's at plus 500. So $100 will win you 550.
Yeah, but you realize you're not getting your $100 back. There's a better chance that someone else scores and you're out $100.
Yeah, but you still have a pretty good chance that Derrick Henry scores.
I like your
first.
Idea of just you like the Titans, take the Titans.
That's it.
Better value.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the teaser today, don't forget my two-team teaser, so we'll see. So, hey,
put
Andy,
10 grand
Andy,
down
real quick,
and win 30.
Today, I put my money where my mouth is. I like Kansas City and San Francisco.
I like both to lay the points.
Okay. Wiggy, you like the other. You like Tennessee and you like Tennessee and Green Bay?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put $100 on.
Get on it.
Dion Yelder.
I've never heard of him.
For $10,000.
Thank you. Thank you to John Anderson, Nick LePan, and Dylan Mitchell. Okay, Dylan Mitchell for helping us out today. NFL Sunday. It's been fun. I'll be back tomorrow night. Are you on with me a little bit tomorrow night?
I'm on 10 to 2 tomorrow, actually.
Hey, oh, you are.
Because Wiggy's on in the morning.
You know Mercedes Lewis, right?
Mercedes Lewis, yes.
Yeah.
You created a monster. All
right, Wiggy, just stop.
$10,000.
Hey, Mrs. Wiggins, stop him now.
Sorry.
Stop him now.
Hey, $100 on Mercedes Lewis course.
Yeah, that's great for your kids.
Take all the money out of the account now. Put it somewhere where only you know where it is because Wiggy's going to lose it all.
All right. The first championship Sunday in nearly a decade. The Patriots aren't playing in it. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.